You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
I, Skeletor, have gathered up all the 80s nostalgia, and no one will ever enjoy it again.
Not so fast, Skeletor.
Oh no, it's King of the Man Babies, Kevin Smith.
Anyways.
I'll be completely the fuck off, girl.
I don't think he's King of the Man Babies. I don't even dislike Kevin Smith, honestly.
Full disclosure, I actually legitimately like Kevin Smith, but I listen to his podcast.
I think Clerks is a classic and Jersey Girl is underrated. I agree. That's my take.
I enjoy Dogma and nothing else.
Oh, that's right. I always forget about that one.
Oh, I love Dogma. It's because it's really difficult to find because it's owned by one of the Weinsteins who's in jail.
Ew.
So they can't reprint it in anything.
Right. Rightfully so, I suppose. Well, this is Bradley Martin. I'm here to talk about Masters of the Universe, Revelation.
I thought we were talking about Silverhawks. Is that not what we're doing?
Silverhawks. Man. Wow.
Been a while,
okay.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just unlocked a part of his memory.
Yeah. Masters of the Universe, Part 1, Revelations, is the re-imagining of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, a direct sequel to the beloved, '80s toy commercial.
There was another show in 2002 that I don't think did well.
I liked it a lot, actually, the 2002 one. That was the one that I watched for a bit.
See, I didn't watch it, but I'm hearing a lot of chatter about how that one was beloved.
It was really cool.
And that Skeletor actually had more of a personality than, "Damn you, He-Man!" Or I guess he would never say that, but
he's thinking it real hard.
So we have Prince Adam doing his thing like, "Whoa, no one knows I'm He-Man, everybody." So he's still keeping that a secret. Teela, the daughter of Man-at-Arms, is about to be honored with Man of Arms title. Okay. When Skeletor ramps up his rage by 1,000 and decides, let's just start killing people and let's take down Grayskull once and for all. Because if you rule Grayskull, you rule the world. Is that how this
Eternia
works?
It's a magic thing.
And all of its secrets, etc., etc. So something shocking happens during this grand battle. And all of Eternia's magic is slowly dying, fading, going away. Like elves into the west, the magic is gone. Until Teela, reluctantly, with friends, Mr. Roboto, I don't even remember his name. Orko.
Roboto is his name.
Yeah, his name is Roboto. Like,
legitimately. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Excellent. Roboto, Teela, Orca, yeah, Mantra.
Evil Lynn.
Team up to bring back the magic to Eternia and reinstate the Sword of Power to its rightful owner, ? So that's part one. I'm going to try to be mostly spoiler-free here. I thought that was vague, but also informative.
It's difficult to be spoiler-free and discuss this specifically because of how much that first episode sets up everything. Like, without spoiling it, I guess, I'm just going to say Teela's the main character of the show. Like, it's not actually he.
Yeah, that's not a surprise at this point. This is...
Well, a lot of people were initially angry because it's like it's the show called He-Man and the main characters are Teela, Evil Lynn, and Andra, who is a very, very minor character in the comic that has now been buffed up.
Well, the show's not even called it's not even called He-Man. Like, at least this version of it.
People
missed that key point that it is the Masters of the Universe and not He-Man in the Masters of the Universe.
It's a very interesting take on what's going on, because of the fact that it's not specifically about He-Man. And the reason I say it's an interesting take is because so much about the Masters universe is very much about He-Man versus Skeletor. And this takes them out of the equation in a very weird way that makes it to where it's like, well, now we got to watch Teela, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, go through a world, a version of Eternia without magic, essentially. Technology is now like the thing that everybody's doing. Like Triclops is like the iPad, look at it, kind of thing. And people are like, that's neat. And so now he's got followers and shit. And then like, so everybody's splintered into different groups than they would have been with, you know, these two characters around, which is the thing that I found interesting about it. But as Mindy's going to point out, the writing doesn't fully take advantage of it in a way that
is a very polite way of saying this writing is some of the worst I've ever seen in a show in my life. This writing,
well, did you like watch the original?
I was exactly born the year it came out, so.
I mean, same. Like, I'm a He-Man. We haven't introduced ourselves. We're 5 minutes into the review.
Yes. So like an 80s cartoon, I'm going to make sure everyone gets a proper introduction here. With us today to talk about Masters of the Universe, Part 1, Revelations, etc., etc., we have Skeletor's life coach. Trevor is with us.
Greetings, Eternians. Knowing is half the battle. That's the wrong cartoon. But.
Oh, I can't wait till they remake. Oh, they are remaking that. Anyways,
Snake Eyes in theaters now.
Yes, Snake Eyes in theaters now. Check out our review.
Snake Eyes who talks blasphemy.
We also have someone who already has a name that sounds like he lives in Eternia. Spider Mike is with us.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. I come with a dog that sometimes has armor.
And we also have one of my favorite people to introduce. Ba 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 ba. Everyone knows it's Mindy.
For the honor of Grayskull, which is a much better show than the one we're about to review.
She's got a fucking machete, by the way.
Yes, I do. It is my sword of power that I cut through the bullshit of this show.
Now. She-Run, the Princess of Power, is an incredible show. That remake, I hope it inspires people to create in ways that they feel they should create and unchain themselves from conventional storytelling. Now, that seems to be the biggest thing everyone's talking about. Kevin Smith is telling this story the way that, of course, Kevin Smith would tell the story. Big, kind of mean-spirited, shocking twists around every corner, and very short that kind of leaves you hanging, which I will say is effective, but yes, go on.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind any of that. We all know that Kevin Smith is more on the darker side. Fuck, the guy fridged Karen Page. I mean, we all know that that's the way he is. But the thing that just got me about this show is that the dialogue is terrible. And nobody gets a character arc except for Orko, okay? Orko, the one who is considered the most annoying of all the creatures, except for maybe the cowardly lion.
Cringer, yeah.
He gets an emotional moment, and therefore his arc feels earned, albeit it is a very short one. The problem is, Kevin Smith, it's very clear he's trying to create this very grandiose, very high stakes, everything up to 11 world. But one, he doesn't give the characters any kind of arc. Like, there is a thing in entertainment, particularly, where it says, show, don't tell. Because if you just tell it, it doesn't have an emotional resonance. You need to show in order for it to feel authentic. Like I said, Orko's the only one who gets that moment. Everyone, like, there's in that very same episode where Orko gets his emotional core, there's this thing with Teela fighting her fears, but it's like she's fighting it going, yes, I am afraid. And then Andra is like, man, I'm scared, you know, essentially shitless right now, even though she doesn't swear. And it's like, okay, but it you haven't made any indication other than saying the words that you are scared, so that does not ring true. You have these big emotional moments between the characters where they haven't done anything to earn them, and so none of them feels real. And then on top of that, the dialogue is just, oh, stab me in the face. My bat daddy himself, Kevin Conroy, being merman, I just want, like, baby doll, I love you so much. These words are beneath you. What are you doing?
Well, he's playing a character named Merman in a He-Man story.
Yeah, I gotta bring this up. Like, how many fans, just quick show of hands, how many people were fans of the original?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I had lots of toys.
Merman was literally a voice. The guy gargled the entire part. Skeletor! Would you like some fish sticks?
I'm cool with that. The source material on this. The words!
Folks, the source material on this is not deep lore. It was very literally a commercial that had one story arc that came from a series of golden books, one story arc that came from a comic book, one story arc that came from another company's comic book, and a story arc that came from a TV series, and then yet another totally different story arc for a feature film in the 80s.
And they all had PSAs.
Yeah. And so we are not working with the best material here. This was never Citizen Kane to begin with. The fact that Kevin Smith was able to pull this together into something a little more cohesive and a little more adult, I don't think it's fine art.
See, here's the thing.
I don't think it's very adult either.
I don't think he pulled it together.
You can watch this with your kids, saying.
But here's the thing, though. She-Ra was also a toy commercial, and they made a show that was fucking brilliant. So it's like, you cannot use that argument when something of the very same franchise managed to create something with an emotional core.
I think you can, though, because...
it's a different series.
That's the thing, is I think you can because of specifically no one give a shit about She-Ra in any shape, way, or form. The people who said they cared about She-Ra did not actually... Like, by the ones I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the one that everyone's just like, you can't mess with this specific thing. So
and
I feel
they
like they're
did
allowed
for He-Man?
To take,
come on.
I feel like they're allowed to take chance. No, they absolutely, like, the thing is, it's the spinoff and it's the main thing. So it's very much the thing that, like, the people who are very adamant about not changing things do not care about spinoffs usually when those things happen. So I have a feeling what happens, because She-Ra's allowed to take chances. This show, I feel like, was not allowed to take chances. Because even one part that feels like it was supposed to be a chance thing, it cuts away from it, which is when
a lot of fans, I guess, are outraged about this for some
kind
reason.
Of thing. And that's the thing, is I feel like this show specifically got limited by what it's allowed to do, because the fact that She-Ra's the spinoff, the people in charge probably were like, it's She-Ra, no one fucking do what you want with She-Ra. And
misogyny.
The point where they wanted He-Man, because I've heard this, they wanted He-Man in that show, the people that were making it. It's like, well, no, we're working on something for that, so you can't do that. Like, that to me shows how much they were like, you do whatever the fuck you want, we don't care, we're working on He-Man kind of thing. Like, I'm not saying that's like a bad thing or a good thing, I'm just saying it's I feel more the show wasn't allowed to be the show that you were probably wanting. And that happens all the time with stuff like this.
Yeah,
and,
but
which is a shame, because I wanted it not to.
Kevin Smith was executive producer. I think if he wanted it, he would have allowed it to happen.
Now, in defense of Kevin Smith, and also kind of a backhanded compliment, maybe, if you've read Nimona or Lumberjanes, Noelle Stevenson, the showrunner of She-Ra, is a much better storyteller than Kevin Smith. So, of course,
that's very true.
She created a much better show.
Kevin's known for a handful of things, and only comic book wise, only some of them are really well regarded. His Green Arrow stuff is super well regarded. His Daredevil, not so much. His Batman, not so much.
I didn't even know he had Batman.
His Batman's stuff's not very good, I'm not gonna lie. Because he did the Widening Gyre, and there was one other one, I can't remember the name of it, but they were not super great. But his Green Arrow is fantastic. His comic stuff, like his stuff outside of Clerks, has always been super, I want to say, hit or miss. That's being generous, because there's a lot more misses than there are hits. Which, ironically enough, like I said, the one that's the most well-regarded of the entirety of that I know is his Green Arrow. Because his Green Arrow stuff was fantastic. But that can only get you so far. With his He-Man stuff, I think it's very generic. The thing is, everybody's like, oh, it's taking chances. I'm like, if I compare it to something specific, I'd give away what it is, but it's very reminiscent of a very specific story that has very specific beats where this happens and then they have to deal with those consequences and then that thing probably comes back anyways. That's why I'm like, why are people losing their shit over this thing? It's so fucking just like, oh, like, it's kind of, like, it's fine, I guess. Like, I have no quarrels. Like, I was never the biggest He-Man fan to begin with. I kind of like the 2002 reboot, but even then I could barely watch it because I never knew when the fuck it was on. And so when this happened, I was like, it's fine. Like, I'll watch the rest of it. Like, because I'm interested based on just the cliffhanger itself. And I like Mark Hamill as Skeletor. I like every actor that's in this. Like, every actor in this is a lot of fun. Like, I'm...
Yeah, this is a great cast.
They try so hard to make that dialogue sound natural.
And I know you said the dialogue is terrible, but when Lena Headey says, "You treacherous trout," bad Lena Headey impersonation, by the way, I'm like, she gets it. That was great. I think she could read all of this very well.
Every actor in here does what they can with what they're given.
Yeah.
And I think they carry the show more than anything else the show does. That and the animation is still really good.
The animation is great.
These are the guys who did the Castlevania series. They're a local team here in Austin. Something Studios. I can't remember the name. I'm sorry, guys. Like, you guys are great. I've met a few of them. They're all real nice people. But yeah, the animation I think is even better than they did in Castlevania, especially for some of the fight scenes that happen. But like Minnie said, everything is kind of rushed story-wise. The few story arcs I can think of don't have completions, but I feel it's because it's still part one. But at the same time, everything is still rushed. There's some stuff with Tila. She's dealing with thoughts of being lied to, essentially, about a bunch of different stuff. And
definitely
then,
gaslit throughout the entirety of the 80s series, at least.
Feeling like, you know, that... Her entire deal is just like, I don't want to do this anymore after everything that's happened. Why do any of you want to do this anymore?
The second episode, you know, she gets to Castle Grayskull and Evil-Lyn is like, hey, I need you to help me find Maggot. And she's like, okay. And it's like, wait, what? Wasn't your entire thing yeah. that you felt betrayed and didn't want to have anything to do with it
it's
anymore?
It's very quick. Like, but I hate magic now. Like, oh, come on. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the actual thing with Cringer, I think, is an earned moment. That's one of the only moments I think is earned because of the way it's said.
I do have a question about Cringer. So, did he talk in the original series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I don't remember that.
It's because Battle Cat doesn't talk. But
and that's Stephen Root, I believe. And I love all the Stephen Root performances.
Like yeah. there's like I said, there's very few things that are earned. Like that is the one that I actually think was earned because Cringer has a really good monologue that I think is legitimately like well done. But then everything after that with Tila is the thing that I don't feel is like earned, because then it's just like yeah, the fear thing. It's like, you're fair, and she's like, I don't have fear, and he's like, okay then, and then. It's just
yeah,
no, your fear.
It's like, this it's is like, your fear. Yeah. You're afraid.
She like pulls out an Uno and card, like, and she's like, turn around, your fear. And she's just like, ah, jeez, the Uno card.
There,
and he freaks
there
out.
Was, there was something there for a little bit, and then I was like, wait, what? I don't know if it's because it's over-explained or if I don't understand the magic of fear that maybe is nostalgic to an actual character that I just forgot. I don't know. Well, I think Justin Long as Mr. Roboto is great as well, and this whole cast is great, but we can't talk about this forever, unfortunately. I guess it's a really hot topic. Why don't we go into our final thoughts? Trevor, my good man, lead us in those, please.
My final thoughts on this, I really liked this. I have deep history in the original 80s series. I watched it growing up. I watched it a lot. I watched the movie. I watched the reboot. I had a bunch of the toys. This was a giant slice of nostalgia pie for me that got that nerve tickled there. And what I really liked about this is I have 130 plus episodes of He-Man going in, saying the stupid fucking line, defeating Skeletor. Skeletor makes a bad pun, calls his henchman fool. I have 130 episodes of that. What I finally got was a little slice of Tila's backstory. What I got was a little emotional development from Duncan. And while as a standalone piece, I think the criticism is fair. If you're coming into this cold, it probably doesn't mean anything to you. You know, I'm bringing in the baggage of this nostalgia love, and suddenly, oh my God, this is the Tila story I've always waited for. And I think it's also fair, I'm not going to use it as a criticism, but I think Mindy's observation, we may have been talking about this off mic, that this feels like Kevin Smith playing with He-Man toys. And I think that's fair, because a lot of this was me sitting up saying, I had that toy, I had that toy, I had that toy. However, sitting here listening to this, if you weren't a fan of the show, if you don't remember it well, if it's just kind of a faint hint in your memory, I don't know that you would have walked away with a lot of that. So I think that's probably a fair criticism. But for me, this was a ton of fun. I really liked it. I think Kevin Smith is playing well with my childhood toys. The score, I'm going to give this 7.5 by the powers of Grayskulls.
Spider Mike.
So as much as I sound like I'm bitching about it, it's a show that I still really liked. As much as I'm like, well, this didn't work, I still liked it. Like, I've seen so much worse from so many of the things. As much as Mindy's argument is very sound in a lot of the places, I just don't agree with it as hard as she does. Since it's still part one, I'm still gonna give a lot of the stuff that I have that are shortcomings the benefit of the doubt, because I can't fully say that this isn't gonna work until I see the entire thing. Like, that would be like if I started the Infinite Crisis in the middle, because we were talking about that earlier, and then I didn't finish it and be like, oh, what's the point of this having three Superman in it? This is dumb, and then stop and not seeing the big fucking badass climax when they fly through the fucking red sun of Krypton. For all I know, there's going to be something great like that at the end. So I can't fully be like, this show's terrible. Like, I'm just going to be like, this show's fine. If you like He-Man, I think you're going to have a decent time with it. If you don't like He-Man, I think you're going to have a better time with it. Because you don't have any of the baggage, you're not going to be like shaking your fists like, nah, take your He-Man to get a thing. Like, so I personally would have to give it 7.5 out of 10 weird shape-shifting evil-ins.
Mindy.
Hey, so for the last couple days, I've been going on and off with Facebook with a whole bunch of my friends going, oh my gosh, the He-Man is so amazing. And me going back is like, were we watching the same show? Because literally this is some of the worst writing I have ever seen. Like, no, you need to watch it. And I'm like, okay. And now that I've watched the whole thing, I still disagree with you all. And I think there's one thing, and I think, Trevor, you hit the nail on the head, which is like, I noticed a commonality between all of these people waxing poetic about this show, which was they were all millennial dudes. So if you went into this show with the nostalgia for He-Man, with the nostalgia for the 80s kind of cartoon that were specifically geared towards boys, I think absolutely this will hit your nostalgia dopamine button. The problem is, this show does not do anything to bring anybody else into the fold. It feels like this is for this select group of people and nobody else. Because of that, there's really nothing that I really enjoyed about it. The art style is delightful, but I didn't know who these characters were. I mean, I knew He-Man. I was born the year this show came out, so it's like He-Man was around. I didn't know who any of these characters were. I barely knew their relationships to each other, and the dialogue is so awkwardly exposition-y with no emotional core. I didn't care about them when they did come up. Like I said, Orko was the only one that I felt had a character arc, and then it was very quickly ended. If that's all I get, why am I going to bother continue it? I appreciate that the leads were all women, but again, She-Ra did it better. So just watch that instead and get something that actually feels fulfilling. And the voice acting is so top-notch too. So the fact that they were desperately trying to say these awkward lines just hurt, because I know your potential. So yeah, it's just all in all, this is a massive thumbs down for me. I mean, it is only 5 episodes, so I'm thinking part of it has to do with the fact that they don't have a lot of time to work with. But at the same time, considering Kevin Smith has already gone on his, well, if you don't like my show, you're a stupid head tour, I don't think that given more time would have made any difference. And it's like, yeah, okay, Kevin, yeah, yes, you calm down, sweetie, and just let the adults play. So yeah, no, don't really recommend this at all. So I am going to give it, because of the artwork mainly, I'm gonna give it 2 out of 10 sit your ass down, Kevin Superboy Prime, because you really, really just sometimes need to just sit back and shut up.
All right. I'm just going to echo pretty much everything you guys have said. Top-notch voice acting, great artwork, and especially what you said, Mindy. This nostalgia gripped me hard. I am trapped in that net still. I used to play He-Man toys with my brother. Brother, if you're listening, we've both gotten a lot taller, but I still look up to you, and this hit me in that way. I only saw the Iron Man, have you heard of the Avengers Initiative? Because of Masters of the Universe with Frank Langella poking his head out, post-credit scene going, I'll be back. I watched all the credits of every single movie because of Frank Langella doing that in Masters of the Universe. So this strangled me with nostalgia, and I loved it. But Kevin Smith doesn't give a safety word, and that's pretty fucked up. I'm going to give this, since it is incredibly biased, to just love your nostalgia and drown in it. And it did have a lot of storytelling problems. Like, what the hell was Triclops doing exactly? I have no idea. Why is technology bad?
Yeah, they don't mention it in the show at all.
Everybody uses the technology before the magic went away, so this is a problem? Just change. Deal with the change that has happened and live on. Oh, no, no, no. That's too deep a conversation, maybe. I digress, and I'm going to give this 7 cybersecurity acolytes and Triclops' army of the internet cult out of 10.
The fact that Henry Rollins is the cult leader, though, I could listen to that dude rant for a while.
I could,
right?
Too.
Absolutely.
His cult also kind of made me like kind of laugh because this one guy, he's like, ah, I'm in pain. But then he realizes he has a chainsaw arm. He's like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then just like calms down immediately. I was like, oh, I don't know if I would have the same reaction or not, but okay.
And then they lose all the core of that by using a no glove, no love pun. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.